Okay, today's daf is Chulin daf Kuf Yud Gimel. We left off on daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis. We are four lines from the bottom of the page. Rav Mari Bar Rachel. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and his children, and by Menachem Gelbtach Lezecher Nishmas Menachem Mendel Ben Mordechai. And again, we thank both sponsors very, very much for their sponsorships. We are holding four lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis. And what we're going to discuss today, at least up until the Mishnah Namar Aleph, is the din of Melicha. The Rav Mari Baruch is going to talk about it, and it's going to lead into a whole sugya about doing Melicha of two different items together, one kosher, one non-kosher. Does the non-kosher one affect the kosher one, since the Melicha is happening in the same kli? And then we're going to have a whole bunch of dinim relating to Melicha and Hadacha, the rinse off of the salt after the Melicha, and that's going to take us all the way to the Mishnah. The first Mishnah on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph is going to talk about Basar Of B'Chalav, the nature of the Isser when it comes to chicken and milk, for example. And then the next Mishnah is going to talk about, in general, which Basar is Asur Min HaTorah with Chalav, and which types of Basar are only Asur Midrabanan Min HaTorah. And the Gemara is going to bring the source for the idea that Basar Tahar is Asur Min HaTorah with Chalav. And then on Amud Beis, we're going to darshan all of the different limudim that we have from the three different times the Torah says Lo Sevashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo, that there not only is it extra that the Pasuk says the same phrase three times, the Torah says the same phrase three times, but within each phrase there seems to be some words that are extra, that are open for drashas. So we're going to have six different drashas from Lo Sevashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo. And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to talk about when one cooks chalev with chalav. And we're going to have machlokas, whether you get malkus for cooking chalev with chalav, and three explanations of that machlokas. So let's begin with Rav Mari Barachel. So Rav Mari Barachel imlachlei basar shchuta bahadei basar trefe. He did melicha of basar shchuta, kasher shechted meat, together with basar trefe in a kli that had holes at the bottom. Now Rav Mari Bar Rachel, just the name itself, is an unusual name. Rashi points out that Rachel, this Rachel, who was Rav Mari's mother, was the daughter of the Amora Shmuel. She was captured by Goyim, and she married one of her non-Jewish captors, and until that fellow was Megayer, and his name was Isser Giyura. Rav Mari was Harasa Shalom B'Kedusha. His mother became pregnant before his father was Megayer. Leidasu B'Kedusha. By the time he was born, his father was already Megayer. So because of his kavod, we call him after his mother, so not to mention the pagam, that his father was a guy at the time that he was conceived. Rashi writes this way in Meseches Bava Metzias. So that's why we call him Rav Mari Bar Rachel. So anyway, back to our halacha though. Rav Mari Bar Rachel did melicha of basar shchuta together with basar trefa. So also kamei de Rava, Rav Mari came to Rava to ask whether the basar shchuta is now mutter. Do we assume that the salting caused the kasher of basar to be boleya from the treif? Or maybe no, maybe kolzman, that the kasher is too busy being polate its own dam, it's not going to be boleya, whatever the treif is exuding, and once it's finished being polate its own dam, the basar treif is also done being polate, and therefore it will not have the capacity to aser the basar shchuta anymore. So Amalei, Rava responded to him, and remember this is Rava, we're going to have many rayas and questions on Shitas Rava. So Rava responded that the pasuk in the Torah, when it talks about shratzim that are tameim, the pasuk says Ela ha tameim lachem b'chol sharetz kol nagei b'am mosim yitma adarav. Pasuk says ha tameim. So from that extra hey, ha tameim leesor tziran verotvan v'kipa shalahed. Ha tameim teaches us that not only can't you eat these shratzim, you're not allowed to eat the tzir, whatever juices emanate from them. From a davar aser through melicha, whatever the rotav that they get cooked in, and the kippah shalahem, the basra and the tavlin that sort of come together in the bottom of the pot that you cook them in. So all of that is asr. So since the tzir that emanates from the shratzim are going to be asr as well, so the tzir is very easy to be, it's likely to be nivla bebasar, more so than dam would be. So basar shchuta that gets salted together with basar trefa, even though it may not be balea dam bishas malicha, but it's certainly going to be balea the tzir from the basar trefa, and that alone is going to be a problem. So meaning your svara is right, that once, that while the basar shchuta is being polate, it's not going to be able to be polea. But once it's done being polate, you can't just say that the basar trefa is also done being polate, and therefore there's nothing for it to absorb. The tzir could still be absorbed. And if it absorbs the tzir of the basar trefa, that's going to be a problem as well. Tosos raises a question over here. I need a pasuk to tell me. It's totally parenthetical, but we mentioned that this pasuk of Hatmea tells me not only is the tzir going to be asr, but the rotav and the kippah. So he says, I need a pasuk to tell me that rotav and kippah that are cooked with the isser are going to be asr. Isn't that tam ki ikr, right? V'hil tam ki ikr da'araisa. So then why do I need a pasuk to tell me that the sauce that it's cooked in is going to be asr? If the sauce that you cook something not kosher, and of course it's going to be asr. It has the tam of the isser. So it also suggests that the real drasha is to asur the tzir, because it's not asur midin, is to asur the tzir itself, which is not a din in tam ki ikr. The idea of the rotav of the kippah, that's just an asmachta. That's not the real drasha. The whole point was really the tzir. And then it also suggests that one would have had a havamina to be matir the rotav and the kippah, even though you can taste the tam of the isser, because by the isser it says a lashon of achila. So maybe we shouldn't ask with the rotav and the kippah that are darkam b'shtia and not b'achila. So we need a pasuk to tell me that shtia ka'achila, and those things that are asr midin tam ki'ikr are asr even b'shtia. So that's the from that same pasuk we ask the tzir as well, even though it's not asr midin tam ki'ikr, because we could because shkulamim, both of these drushas are equal drushas, and therefore there's no reason to make one of them and not the other. So we're able to make both of these drushas from the same pasuk. So the Gemara asks on Rava, why does Rava have to bring the brisa that the tzir of things that are non-kosher are aser? He should have just responded that he could give the same answer based on the chiddush of Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel Maliach Hareu Kiroseach V'Kavush Hareu Kimavushal. Shmuel told us that you could have transfer of tam even without heat by doing malicha. That's like cooking things together. By doing kvisha, soaking one thing in another, that's like cooking things together. So if you're kovish iser v'heter together, the iser is bolea from the heter, that is bolea from the Isra, it's as if they were cooked together. So Maliach is Kiroseach, the Basar Trefa should definitely Asur the Basar Shchuta, just like if you cook Basar Kasher together with Basar Shchuta, they're both going to be Asur. That's the, so the Gemara's Kasher over here is a little bit of an interesting question. Tosfos points out, where he brought a Raya from a Braisa. We're saying, why do you have to bring a Raya from a Braisa? You already have Shmuel. Well, yeah, Shmuel was an Amora. Isn't it better to bring a Raya from a Braisa than to bring a Raya from Shmuel? So Tosfos points out that even though the Braisa is a stronger source than Shmuel, but the Braisa alone without Shmuel wouldn't really teach you that you should Aser. Because even if Tzir of a Trefa is Aser, we don't know that Tzir is doing anything to the kasher of meat that it's together with. It's only because Maliach is Kiroseach that we assume that the tzir is going to have an impact on the other meat. So what the Gemara is saying is that Shmuel alone would have been a good enough source. The Braisa needs to rely on Shmuel in order for the Braisa to be a good enough source. So why bother quoting the Braisa if just having Shmuel alone would be a good enough raya that you'd have a problem over here by being Maleach, by salting the kosher meat and the non-kosher meat? Says Gemara, no, even the Shmuel, if I only had Shmuel, have Amina Hanimili, I would assume that that's only Daman, Aval Tziran, Verot Van Lo. I would assume that Shmuel only applies when there's dam, where there's dam together with the kasher or basar in the same kli, meaning they're being salted in a kli that's eno menukav, that doesn't have holes on it, that the blood is not able to drain. And that's where Shmuel is going to say Malich Karoseach, and the Malich has the ability to be Mavliya, the Dam, in the Basar and Ta'asar it. But as far as the Tzir and the Rotav, I would think Shmuel does not hold that it has the ability to Asar Al Yadei Malicha. That that's just like Zeya Bialma, and even if it's the Basar absorbs, the Basar Kasher absorbs it, it shouldn't really Asar it. So that's why we need to bring the Brisa that no, this is real non-kosher food, and therefore, if you hold Malich, it's really going to transfer the tam of this non-kosher food into the kosher food, and that's why it's going to be a problem. So that was that was one kasha on Rava and an answer. So the first kasha on Rava wasn't on Rava's psak; it was on why Rava used that source for his psak. He could have had a different source for his psak. Now the Gemara asks Vaiter on Rava. Meisvei dag tahor shemalachom dag tameh, that the Brisa tells us if you have a kosher fish that you salt together with non-kosher fish, mutter. It's totally mutter. You don't have to worry about the kashrus of the kosher fish. My lav shoyishnei meluchin isn't the case talking about where they're both maluach and nevertheless the kosher fish does not become non-kosher. And the reason is because while the kosher fish is too busy being polite its own dam, it's not going to be able to be balea, neither the dam of the non-kosher fish nor the tzir of the non-kosher fish. So it's a kasha on Rava's psak now. Rava said that when you had the two pieces of meat that you're being maleach together, that you're salting together, that the non-kosher one affects the kosher one. So how come by fish we don't say the same thing? So says Mar Lo, the Brice is not talking about that both of the Dagam are meluchim. Go and shaya tohar maleach v'tameh tafel. The case is that the kosher fish was being salted, that the non-kosher fish was not placed in any salt. There was no salt on the non-kosher fish. And therefore it's not being polate any of its tzir. So it's not going to have any impact on the kosher fish. The malicha, that which is maluach is polate its dam and its tzir. That which is not maluach is not going to be polate anything, and there's no reason to believe that the kosher fish should become problematic at all. But in the case that Rava was talking about, where you actually do malicha on a kosher piece of meat and a non-kosher piece of meat together, then the non-kosher piece of meat is certainly polate its tzir through that malicha, and that's why Rava is in fact correct that it's going to aser. Frakti Gemara v'amidiktani seifa, but the hemshich of the brisa goes on to say that hayat tohar maliach v'tamei tafel mutter. That if the tohar was maliach and the tamei one was not maliach, then it's going to be mutter. Mechal the reisha v'b'shneim meluch maskinan. So doesn't that imply that the reisha was talking about where they were both maluach? So says Gemara, no, prushikam mefareish. The seifa is just explaining the reisha. Tohar shemalachom dag tamei mutter. Keitzad shayatar maliach v'tameh tafel. That is just explaining that the case of the reisha is that only the tahor one is the one, only kosher one is the one that's maluach. The non kosher one doesn't have any malicha happening. And hachi nami mistavra. And that's the simplest way to explain that brisa. Di salkadaitach reisha shnei maluchim. Because if the case of the reisha was that they're both being salted, well then hashe shnei maluchim shari. If when they're both being salted, it's mutter. Meaning even when the non kosher one is being salted and it's expelling its dam and its tzir and it's still going to be mutter. Tar maliach b'tamei tafel mibayi. With the next case of the brisa, you need to tell me that if the non-kosher one is not being salted, that everything's going to be kosher, that the kosher one is going to remain kosher. Of course it would remain kosher. So that's a raya, that it must be perusha kamefarish, that the sefer must just be explaining the ratio. They're not two separate cases. Says Gemara, imi shumha lo irya. If that's your proof that they're not two separate cases, it's not a great proof. Tana Seifa Ligluye Resha. Maybe the Seifa has to give a case where the non-kosher one is not being salted to be Megala what the Resha is talking about, what the case of the Resha is. Dilotema Resha Tar Maliach Vatame Tafel. That you shouldn't come to think that the Resha is only talking about a case where the kosher one is salted and the non-kosher one isn't. Aval Shneim Luchan, and then you would make a diuk that if they were both being salted, Aser, then the kosher one would become Aser from the tzir and the dam of the non-kosher one. So that's why Tana Seifa, the Seifa needs to tell me, Tar Maliach Vatame Tafel, Michal de Resha Shneim Luchan, that the Seifa is talking about where only the kosher one one is salted, which implies that the Reisha must have been talking about where they're both salted, Vafilu Achishari, and nevertheless the kosher one is going to be mutter, because so long as it's busy being polite, it's not going to be boldaya. So that would be against Rava. But again, at the end of the day, it's not really a raya. We're just showing that you don't have a raya to the way Rava would understand this brisa, but it's not a raya against Rava either. Meaning this brisa could be understood in two ways. It could be understood as telling me two different cases, a case where they're both salted and a case where only the kosher one is salted, or it could just be telling me one case where only the kosher one is salted, but in a chinami, had they both been salted, it would be a problem. And that's clearly the way Rava understood it, that had they both been salted, it would be a problem. Now the Gemara goes and asks from the Hemshech of the Braisa a third raya, Tashema, a third raya against Rava. And again, the first raya against Rava was only on Rava's raya, it wasn't on Rava's psak. The second raya against Rava was a raya against Rava's psak, but we rejected that raya. Tashema says, well, I'll bring you a third raya. Misefa de sefa. You go on in the Braisa, and the next case in the Braisa, it says that when the kosher fish is maliach, the non-kosher fish is not maliach, the kosher fish is mutter. Aval, imhaya, tame maliach vitar tafel. What if it were the reverse? The non-kosher one is the salted one. The kosher one is not being salted, which means that the non-kosher one is expelling its dam and its tzir, and the kosher one is just sitting there being mekabel, whatever the other one has to offer, because it's not expelling anything. Aser, then the kosher one becomes aser. So it sounds like tamei meliach v'tar tafel huda aser hashnei meluchin shari. The simple diuk to make is, yes, when does the kosher fish become aser? If it was not also being salted. But if the kosher fish was also being salted, it would not become aser because it is not being balea anything. So says Gemara, no, you don't make any such diuk. I did the tana reisha, tar meliach v'tami tafel, tana nami seif, tana meliach v'tar tafel. Since the reisha was talking about where the kosher one was the salted one and the other one wasn't, so in the case of the seifa, we just flip it around. But you can't make a diuk one way or the other as far as when they are both being salted. So it's not a raya against Rava either. This price approves nothing as far as Rava's psak halacha. Now the idea that when one item is salted and the other one is not salted, the one that's salted is the one that's being polite, and the one that's not being salted is considered that it's just going to be able to absorb and it's not mavliya anything into the unsalted one, right? That's the basic idea of maliach kiroseach over here. So there's a discussion in Rishonim, you know, when it comes to actual roseach, when it comes to actual hot and cold. So there's a discussion in the Sugyum Sechs Psachim, when you put tzonein on top of roteach, or roteach on top of tzonein, mi gover al mi, right? Which one overpowers the other one? Is that considered a combination of hot things? See, when you cook two things in a pot and everything's hot, so there's nothing to discuss. Obviously, time transfers from one to the other. What if you take a hot piece of meat and you put it on top of a hot piece of treif of meat and you put it on top of a cold piece of meat? So do we assume that the hot piece of treif of meat was able to assa the entire cold piece of meat? What about the opposite? You take a cold piece of treif of meat and you put it on top of a hot kosher piece of meat. So do we assume that the tasa agavar or that the ila agavar? So that's a sugyo. We assume tasa agavar la halacha. So Tosus explains that by maliach, that whole machlok is not shaykh. We don't say, heat can do, salting can do. So if you say tasa agavar by heat, then tasa agavar by salting as well. That if the salted one is on the bottom and the unsalted one is on the top, so that's like having the hot one on the bottom. So the Tosus points out that no, the whole machlok is not shaykh. It doesn't make a difference whether the maliach is the elyon and the tafel is the tachton, or vice versa. The maliach is always going to be mavliya into the tafel, and it's never going to be boleya from the tafel. It will always expel into the tafel, but not receive from the tafel. That's how Tosfos understands. However, the Rashba disagrees in several places. In Tshuvas HaRashba, in Toras Abayis, in his Chidush Manshas, the Rashba writes that it could be that by Meliach Kroseach, we would also say Tasa Agavar. And when the bottom one is Meliach, it has the ability to be Mavliya into the tafel that's put on top of it. But it could be that if the bottom one is tafel, it's not going to be boleach from an elyon that's maliach, because we assume tasa agavar, the bottom one's characteristics are going to overpower that which is put on top of it. So that's a basic discussion in the Rishonim. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Now that we've mentioned this din of Maliach, we're going to go through some more halachos relating to Malicha and Hadacha. Amar Shmuel, Ein Abasar Yotzi Midei Damo, Elim Kein Molcho Yafa Yafa, Umadicho Yafa Yafa. The Basar is only going to rid itself of all of the Dam, that's Asar, inside of it, if you do a proper Malicha and a proper Hadacha. Now note that Shmuel only says two steps. There's Malicha, there's Hadacha. There's salting and there's rinsing. But L'chora, there should be a third step. That when you, in between the two, salting, waiting a while, allowing it to sit in its salt so that the salt has time to extract all the dam, and then rinsing it off. In the Hago, Shari Duri points out from the fact that Shmuel does not mention that, it must be that that is a later minhag, but that is not something that is actually required, that the meat can be mutter if you salt it and then immediately rinse it right afterwards. The Be'er Sheva writes that even though Shmuel doesn't mention Shihia B'melech, it's not because it's not necessary Adrab, it's because it's so obvious that you need Shihia B'melech. Obviously, salt's not going to do anything if you don't let it sit in the salt for some time. So that's a discussion that the Achronim, that the early Achronim have. Itmar and the Rishonim. Itmar. So we have the following statement. Rav Huna Amar, that Moleach Umadiach. Rav Huna says, first you salt it and then you rinse it. But b'masnisa tana, in a brisa that goes through how salting is done on meat, it says, Madiach Umaleach Madiach. That first you're Madiach, then you're Maleach, then you're Madiach again. That there are three stages, but there's an initial Hadacha prior to the Malicha. Velo Pligi. In fact, it's not a Machlokas at all. Had the Chalalei Beit Habacha. Rav Huna was said in a case where they already rinsed the meat by the Shochet, and therefore it doesn't require the Hadacha Rishona, because it already really had a Hadacha. And the Brice was talking about where they did not rinse the meat by the Shochet, and therefore you have a chiyuv to do a Hadacha Rishona. The Rashba writes that there's a difference between a rinsing that the Tabach does, that the Shochet does, and the Hadacha that's done b'shas Malicha. When a Shochet rinses off the meat, the Dam is still very warm, and therefore the rinsing doesn't have to be as thorough to get rid of that surface Dam. But when you're Madiach Basar at the time of the Malicha, after it's already dried up, the Dam is already dried up a little bit, so then you're going to need a real strong Hadacha. You need Hadacha v'shivshuv gadol, says the Rashba, and that's why it says dechalale Beit Habacha, which sounds like, just stop rinsing it off by the Beit Habacha. But that's the Rashba's Chiddush, that even though we're saying that you always need Hadacha Rishon, it's just a question of how Hadacha Rishon is done. Is it done by the Shochet or is it done later on? There's a big difference la halacha whether it's done by the Shochet or whether it's done later on. Rav Dimin Arda Malach Le B'Milcha Galal Nisa. He used a very coarse kind of salt for the Malicha, Umanapitzle, and because the salt didn't just naturally absorb, he would shake the melech off of the basar, because the melech was balei adam, but the a more fine type of salt, you wouldn't need to be menapitz. Amra Masharshia, ein machzikin dam bibnei me'ayim. We don't assume that the Bnei Me'ayim of a Behema have a dam in them. And therefore, even if you didn't do Malicha on them, on the intestines, it's still going to be kosher. So Tirgama, we explain, Akarkisha. That's talking about the Karkisha, Umeaya, and the Me'ayim, Vahadra Dechanta. And as far as the Dakin that are around the Kanta, that these are the internal organs that we're talking about that do not require, right? So it's the rectum, the stomachs, and the large intestines. Now these are the internal organs that we're not machzik dam in them, and then even without malicha, we assume they're going to be okay. Amar Shmuel, ein manichin basa maliach, ela al gabei klei menukav. If you have salted meat while it's sitting in the salt, because remember, there has to be some time according to almost every, according to La Halacha for sure, that it's sitting in the salt in these industrial settings where they're doing lots of thousands of shechitas of chickens, for example, in a day. So they have machines set up in such a way where it's on this very slow conveyor belt, so that it would, after the melicha, before the hadacha. And the point is that it's got to be sitting in the salt for a certain amount of time. So dafka, set it up to be very, very slow. So while it's sitting in the salt, it should be hanging. It should not be sitting on a kli, unless it's a kli menukav, where the dam has where to escape. But if it's a kli she'enu menukav, the dam is just going to gather in the kli, and it's going to be balea, the dam, that it just expelled. It will be a waste of time. The whole thing won't work. So the Gemara explains whether there's a chashash of blias dam from one chaticha to another. Rav Sheshas Malachle Garma Garma. Rav Sheshas would be Malach Basa that required Malicha, each Chaticha on its own. He wouldn't put two Chatichos together. So it says Gemara, Trey my time alone. Why wouldn't he do two Chatichos together? Mishum Deparish Mehai Ubalahai. Obviously, he's concerned that one of the Chatichos is going to be Maflit Dam, and then it's going to go right into the other Chaticha. Well, in fact, the Gemara, Chanami Parish Mehai Gisa Ubalahai Gisa. Shouldn't he be concerned about a single chaticha of meat as well, that blood will come out of one end of the piece of meat and then go right into the other end of the piece of meat? And we're obviously not choshish for that, because then there would be no way to ever do malicha, right? Meaning if you're always choshish in the single piece of meat. So why is Rav Sheshes choshish about two pieces of meat together? Meaning ein l'davar sof, ella lo shna. It must be that there's no chilik between the malicha of one chaticha on its own and malicha of multiple chatichos. Just like by one chaticha it's mutter, because while it's being polate, it doesn't have the capacity to also be balea. So the same is true when you have two different chatichos against Rav Sheshes. Another din that the Gemara says in the name of Shmuel related to malicha, Amar Shmuel Mishum Rabichia, Hashover Mafrakta. If a butcher breaks the neck bone, the spine shel behema, or the neck of the animal after the shechita, kodim shetetzei nafsha, but before it's fully dead, hareza machbir es habasar. He causes the flesh of the animal to be heavier, because the so long as the behema is struggling after the shechita, it's motzi dam derech beis hashechita. It causes the dam to rush to the beis hashechita. But once you break its neck after the shechita, so it doesn't have the koach anymore to fight off death, and therefore it doesn't have the koach for the dam to rush toward the beis hashechita. So the dam stays in the evarim where it is, meaning it's going to cause you a dam problem by breaking the animal's neck. The gozel asabrios, and therefore when you sell them this meat, you know, the way they would sell meat, and we still do, is based on weight. You know, it's a certain amount per pound, so it's making the meat heavier because there's dam that's sitting in the evarim. So that dam is gonna weigh down the meat. So you're being gozel from people umavliya dam be'evarim, and you're causing the dam is being soaked in the evarim. So yibayiluhu. So they weren't sure. Hechi kamar. What did Rabbi Chia mean to say? Is it machber asabasar v'gozel asabrios? And the reason that it's nisu gezel is mishum d'mavli adam beivarim, that it's gezel because there is dam that is muvli beivarim. So haladi day, the implication would therefore be that if you don't plan on selling it, you just plan on keeping it for yourself, shaper dami, that would be totally fine. Meaning the whole issue is that it's going to be a gezel issue. Or maybe what he means to say is that you're violating two isurim. First of all, you're stealing. And second of all, there's an isur of dam. The dam isn't escaping from the animal, so you're going to have a malicha problem. You know, malicha's not going to work on this animal, and therefore it's going to be asur for yourself as well. So, says Gemara Teiku, the Gemara does not have a resolution for this. So all of that was the way Rashi has the gears on our Gemara, that the whole issue is whether there's an Isser Dam by breaking the Mafrakes of the animal, or only an Isser Gezel. It is clear from Rashi that if there is an Isser Dam, Malicha will not help. It will not be Matir. The Ran writes that it also won't help to do roasting. See, normally you don't need Malicha if you're going to do roasting instead of cooking. But the Ran says, just like Malicha is not going to help, Tzliya won't help either. However, Rabbeinu Gershom, the Rif, the Rush, they all have a different girsa. Their girsa is Heichi Ka'amar. machber asabasar v'gozel asabrios mishum demavli adam be'evarin haba'i lemechal minei bu'umtsa shapir dami odilma mavli adam be'evarim nami di'ba'i lemechal minei bu'umtsa asir. My teku, meaning that they understood that it's pashut, that after the dam is nivla in the evarim, malicha or tzliya would work to be matirit. The suffix of the Gemara is, are you allowed to eat from the basar, from these evarim bu'umtza, which means raw, without doing any malicha or bishul, and without any tzliya. And the Rashba and the Ran explain that the tzadimar, do we assume that while the dam is nivla in the evarim, and it goes mimakum lumakum within the animal, it has the din of dame varim shapiresh, which is asur below, even without bishul, or maybe that's not called piresh in order to have a din of dame varim shapiresh, and you're allowed to eat it just like any other basar is allowed to be eaten. So those are the two different kirsos, two different, totally different ways of understanding our Gemara. Okay, now we move on to the Mishnah that's going to discuss basar of with chalav. Hamalas of ima gvina ala shulchan. If a person takes basar of and puts it together with cheese on the same table, so even though he violated what we learned on daf kuf gimel on the base, that you're not allowed to be mal ala shulchan echad basar of and gvina. Ain't over below, so I say. He didn't violate lo savash gadiba chalevimo, because the isra of halal, basar gvina, shulchan echad, is only gzeri mitrabanan. It's certainly not a lo sase, unless you are mevashal basar b'chalav, arochal basar b'chalav, get hana from basar b'chalav. Putting it together on the same table is not going to be a problem. Says Gemara, but the implication is ha'ochlo over below, so I say. That if you eat the basar of with gvina, sounds like you really are in violation of the lo sase. This sounds like the shita of the Chachamim, not like Rabbi Akiva, that basar of together with chalav is a problem on a da'oraisa, on a da'oraisa level. Says Gemara, no, ema, what it means to say is amale es ha'of imagvina l'shulchan eino ba lidei lo sase, that it couldn't even lead to a lo sase, because even if you were to forget and you were to eat the of with the gvina at the same time, it's still not a lo sase because it's only basar of, exactly like the shita of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, now we get into what is called basar, as far as basar b'chalav is concerned. Basar be'im atara, the basar of a kosher animal, b'chalev be'im atara, in the chalav of a kosher animal, asr levashel, v'asr bahana, you know, it's asr min haTorah to cook them together, it's asr min haTorah if they are cooked together to get hana from them, and obviously it's asr ba'achila as well. Basar behema tahora b'chalav behema tameya. You have kosher meat, but the chalav of a non-kosher animal. Basar behema tameya b'chalav behema tahora. Or you have kosher milk, but the meat of a non-kosher animal. Mutal vashal mutar b'hana'ah. So that's going to be mutar in bishul and in hana'ah. Even though they're mutar in bishul and hana'ah, it's asr mida'oraisa to eat them together, because it's asr da'oraisa to eat them separately. Meaning behema tameya is not kosher. That's an isr da'oraisa. Chalav tamei is obviously da'oraisa. So that's why we're not going to say it's mutar ba'achila, because by definition we're dealing with an isr da'oraisa over here. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva disagrees with the Chamin. He would say chaya va'ov eina min haTorah, that basar chaya va'ov together with chalav is not an isur d'oraisa. Shnemar lo sevashel gedi b'chalev imo shalosh pamim prat l'chaya la'ov u'behemet tameya, that it says three times lo sevashel gedi b'chalev imo, and the three mi'utim are there to tell me, yeah, not a chaya. Chaya is not included in the Yisr, not an oaf, and also not a non-kosher animal. Rabbi Yosef Lili Omer, that when the Pasuk says, Lo Shavashul Gedi, how do I know that even every chaya is going to be included? Nemar lo sochlu kol nevela, v'nemar lo sevashel gedi b'chalev imo. Pasuk tells me lo sochlu kol nevela. Then it goes on to say lo sevashel gedi b'chalev imo. Esha asu mishum nevela, asu levashel b'chalev. Ov she asu mishum nevela, yachal yei asu levashel b'chalev. Tam lomar b'chalev imo, yotza ov she lo chalev eim. How do I know to include a chaya? Because anything that's subject to nevela is subject to basu b'chalev. And a chaya is subject to nevela. But an ov is also subject to nevela. So maybe basu ov should also be nesudaraisa. No, separate, special miut, that only that which has chalav aim, and an oaf doesn't have chalav aim, so an oaf is excluded from the parsha of basar b'chalav. Good. So that's the drasha. According to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, Basar Of is mutter to be mevashel bechalav even midrabanan. So that's what it's going to sound like from the Brisa in a couple of days. That be mekabel shel Rabbi Yosef Aglili, we're going to learn in the Gemara hayu ochlin Basar Of bechalav. They would eat Basar Of bechalav, and that he doesn't say enim asura min haTorah like Rabbi Akiva said. Sounds like it's not asura at all. So the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef Aglili is by Of and Chaya. Of, according to Rabbi Akiva, is asur midrabanan. Rabbi Yosef Aglili holds it's totally mutter. Chaya, according to Rabbi Akiva, is asur midrabanan because it's nisma'it from Gedi. According to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, is asur midaraisa. So in a certain sense, Rabbi Yosef Aglili is more makel than Rabbi Akiva. In a certain sense, he is more machmir than Rabbi Akiva. Okay, minani mili. Where do we learn that any behema Torah is you're not allowed to cook with chalav? The pasuk only says lo svashel gedi. How do I know it applies to any kosher animal? Amr blazer, amr kra, because the pasuk says when Yehuda sends Tamar a gedi izin in order to have her return the collateral that he had given her. By yishlach Yehuda es gedia izin. Yehuda sends her a gedia izin. So kan it says over here the pasuk says over here. Gedia izim ha kol makom shenemar gedi stam afilu para v'rachel b'mashma. Over here it specifies not just gedi; it says gedi izim. That implies that anywhere else it says the word gedi, it would include even other types of kosher animals. Says Mar v'leilch minei. Maybe we should learn a gzeir shav from gedi izim. That just like it says gedi, and it's clear that it's only izim by Yehuda. That wherever it says gedi stam, it only means gedi izim. No, k'siv kra'achrina. There's another pasuk where Rivka sends Yaakov to get the brachos from Yitzchak. It says va'oros gedie ha'izim. So kan gedie izim akal makom nemar gedi stam afilu par v'rachel mashma. That's where it specifies gedie izim, but elsewhere when it says just gedi, we assume par v'rachel are also included. V'leilif minei. Why don't we learn from there? Havluk shneksiv naban kechem. Because now I have two separate places where the Torah over specifies that it says gedi ha'izim. So you can't use that as a prototype. You have to assume those are the exceptions. That everywhere else where it says gedi, it doesn't mean just izim. So that's great if you assume shneksum aban kechad is ein melamdin. But what if yol shneksum aban kechad is melamdin? So tremutik sivi izim ha izim. Both psukim have a double mute. It has an extra hey. It doesn't say gedi izim. It says gedi ha izim. Tell me that dafka in these two places it means gedi izim. Can't learn from there to kala Torah kula. So the Torah says lo svashli b'chalivimo three times, and we darshin from these words six different drashos. Three from the word gedi three times, and three from the extra b'chalivimo three times. So Shmuel expounds on all these drashos. Amar Shmuel gedi l'rabos hasachelev. That includes chelev as part of the meat that you're not allowed to cook with chalav. Gedi l'rabos hasamesa. Someone cooks basar nevela with chalav is also going to be in violation of nevela, and in addition to basar b'chalav. Gedi l'rabos hasashalil. Someone who cooks the shalil that's inside the fetus, that's inside the mother, that's shechted with chalav and eats it, is going to be in violation of basar b'chalav, both on the achila and on the bishul. It has a full din of basar. Gedi lahutzias adam. Someone cooks dam with chalav and eats it, is not in violation of basar chalav. Gedi lahutzias ashilia, to exclude the placenta, and gedi lahutzias atmeya, to exclude non-kosher meat. B'chalev imo v'lo b'chalev zachar. If a male lactates, and so that's not going to be included in chalav. B'chalev imo v'lo b'chalev shchuta. If you cook it in milk that came out of the animal after it was shechted, that's not halachically chalav. B'chalev and also not milk from a non-kosher animal. So I ask the Gemara, it only says gedi three times, but we just made six drushes just from the word gedi. Then chalev imo, we had another three drushes. How do you make six drushes from three times that it says gedi? So k'savar Shmuel, isr chal al isr. The Gemara explains, Shmuel learns only three dinim. The other dinim, he doesn't need a drasha, because something that's asr could be chal on another isr. So you don't need a special pasuk to tell me that if you eat chelev or nevela that's nispashel b'chalav, that you're in violation of chelev or nevela and also of basar b'chalav, because the yisr basar b'chalav could be chal on the yisr chelev and on the yisr nevela. V'yisr chelev mesa b'chad kra nafki, and we can learn the din of chelev and nevela that are nispashel b'chalav that you're in violation mishum basar b'chalav from a gedi that it says in a single pasuk, because that pasuk is telling me that the ikar isra of basar b'chalav, and that includes chaylev and nevela as part of the category. Dam nami lav gedihu, and also to be mimai dam, I don't need a pasuk, it's just simply not considered part of the gedi. Shilyanami pirsha b'almahu, and the shilya also, I don't need a special pasuk, it's pirsha b'alma, it's not a part of the behema, and therefore it's not included in the gedi that the pasuk says. So a pashalu trei, that leaves you with two psukim, chad l'rabbus shliel v'chad l'mute behema t'meya, and that's why Shmuel was able to make all of those joshos. So Savar Shmuel, is that true? Does Shmuel really hold isr chal al isr? V'amar Shmuel mishum Reb Elazar minayin l'koin tamei shalchol truma t'meya she'eno b'misa, that he's not chayv misa b'day shemayim like a koin tamei that eats truma t'ahura. Shnemar meisu bo ki chalulu prat l'zusha m'chalal s'vo medes. He's already tamei, so he can't have the additional isr of eating truma t'meya because ain't isr chal al isr. So iva yisema v'yalma isr chal al isr. V'shayin yasem d'miyat v'rachmana m'meisu bo. Maybe really he holds isr chal al isr. Truma t'meya, there's a special drasha. Iva yisema v'yalma k'savar Shmuel ain't isr chal al isr. The truma t'meya drasha is the correct drasha. V'shayin yachad rabbi rachmana g'di. And over here you have a special drasha of g'di. V'iva yisema, or a third possible resolution, Hadidei hadarabe, that it's a difference between what Shmuel himself holds and that which he says in the name of Reb Lazar, that ein iser chal al iser. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Vayimine Rav Achdavi Barani.